Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, 104.5 The Zone drops the puck on Nashville Predators Hockey Talk. This is the Neutral Zone, presented by Lion Zone with Christopher Martell from the Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for another wonderful, wonderful hockey episode full of hockey goodness and hockey everything.
Hockey everything.
Christopher Martell from Fox Sports Tennessee, alongside my good brother Darren Martell of Parts Unknown.
Always parts, at least it wasn't demoralizing that time. What, and you said time? I was a good brother?
Well, you could be a bad brother.
Okay.
It's up to you.
We'll see how the show goes.
I mean, a good brother is a good thing.
A good brother, okay.
Yeah, you mean...
Like Good Burger.
No, not so much.
My good burger, Darren.
We've already derailed, and we're not 5 minutes into the show. We're not even 5 minutes in. You're already derailing us. Lots of stuff to talk to tonight. Of course, tonight is a big night in Nashville. David Poile being inducted to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll have audio from David from earlier today when he was talking about his induction ceremony, and also... scattered things about about the ceremony as a whole. Mm-hmm. We'll have that audio later in the show. We're going to talk about the Preds are treading water right now, being the walking wounded a little bit.
Yeah, their feet are going down very slowly.
Yeah, it's just they got a lot of injuries, but they're treading water right now, which is the most important thing. Statistically, are the Predators better than they look, or look better than they actually are? We're going to look at some of the advanced statistics behind the team as we near the halfway mark of the season. Most importantly, we're probably looking a little bit more goaltending than anything else.
Yes.
In celebration of David Poile's induction to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, we'll rank Poile's five greatest trades as general manager of the Nashville Predators. Me and Darren both have our five choices here. Kobayashi Maru, Twitter questions and more. But first up, it's the Coach's Challenge.
Coach's Challenge.
Lots going on last week. Predators now losers of six straight. I hate saying that.
Losers.
Losers.
What a loser he is.
Predators have dropped six straight on the road, 0-5-1 in their last
Shameful.
Six after losses to Vancouver and Calgary this past week. Corey Hirsch, who was on the show last week, predicted to us that going into Vancouver could be kind of a trap game for Nashville. Lo and behold, it turned out to be just that. Canucks snap their skid as they beat the Predators 5-3 in front of their own fans.
That was rough.
Yeah, it was kind of a tough game. Right out from the gates, wasn't too good.
No.
And it just kind of went further downhill from there.
Who was in goal, Markstrom for Vancouver?
I believe you're correct.
Because he made an early save. That was just, it was point blank, but he got that pad out there, so... it just showed that the Preds were going to have their hands full that night, and it was going to be a night of trouble in terms of trying to get anything past him.
Yeah, and that's just one of those teams that you either get everything or you get nothing. Yes, exactly. Markstrom, it was a net. He had a 26 save performance, which is, it's not a whole bunch, but I mean, the Preds didn't really force a whole bunch of really good opportunities on net, and I think that's what really comes back to bite them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things when you really... When you analyze how the Predators' approach to that game was, they had come off 2 days of rest, which they absolutely deserved after that Buffalo game.
Of course.
They go up to Vancouver, and they just, you can't say they definitively laid an egg, but it was not a very good game. It was uninspired play, and it just looked bad.
Unfortunately, and just looking at the goaltending from that, Markstrom kind of won the gold medal against Pekka. Pekka didn't really have his best game. I mean, really in the NHL, you can't really expect the goaltender always to be on fire like Pekka has here recently and in the past couple of years. But it definitely, it showed that His mind may have not been all there, but...
But I don't necessarily think all of that was his fault.
No, of course not, but still.
But that's one of those things that I think the goals that he allowed that night were not goals that were necessarily ones that he really had a chance to stop. I'm talking about ones that were... They weren't ones that squeaked past him, you know? It's not like he had a really bad night. It's just... I don't think he got help from anybody.
No, not really. But Pecorine is also the kind of player who's always going to put the blame on himself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, after the game against Ottawa, which we'll go over, he actually said the words. He goes, "That was a bad goal," and he did. He also noted. He goes, "I've got to get the actual quote because it was pretty." He goes, "Well, he said after the game, it was a terrible goal. It was a weak goal, and I felt pretty terrible after that." And then he said to the media afterwards, he goes, "It's not the first time I've allowed a soft goal like that." So,
I mean, it's good that he can admit that, but
he's
also
self-deprecating.
It's good he can admit that, but at the same time, it's bad because he can admit that.
Well, you know, speaking of goaltending, let's just go ahead and break down some of the numbers here. Mm-hmm. First off, when we talk about the Calgary game, UC Saros in net for that one. Nashville drops that game 5-2. They look better on the ice than they did against Calgary. I thought they looked more composed against Vancouver, but I think UC Saros just didn't play up to speed.
Woof.
And, oh yeah. I mean, what is happening there? Darren, you know, you of course have not played professional hockey, but you are
and
a
I
goaltender.
Never will.
Yes. But you have played as a goaltender. And I mean, what when you watch UC Saros play, what are you seeing here? Is there anything that you're seeing that kind of could explain as to what potentially could be going wrong?
I think it's definitely one of the big factors for UC is psychological, because he is young, and at that age, I mean, he's what, just in his third year as a Predator, and they're starting to put more responsibility on him, give him more of a role when it comes to actually playing behind Pecorine. But at the same time, I think once you have a bad game as a goaltender and then you have a consecutive bad game, it just starts almost snowballing from there, especially at his age.
Now I think a really good question about that is, you know, when you look at UC Saros, he's played 13 games so far, but a lot of his games have giant stretches of time in between.
Yes.
So when you have a bad game and you can't rectify that bad game for 7 or 8 games in a row,
you think about it.
Yeah. I'm assuming it really hurts his confidence.
Of course it has to, because I mean, unfortunately, Predators fans and media are very fickle. And
of course,
one bad game.
It's not the worst market.
How many times for any player have we heard, "Oh, let's get rid of him. Let's trade him." Not, this is just any player in general.
Oh, yeah. I've said that a bunch.
Yeah, I know. The Benino's biggest fan over
no,
here.
No. I mean, we're not going to name names. We're not going to name names here on this show.
What? You're ashamed.
I am not ashamed of saying that Nick Bonino was not playing very good hockey. He was not playing very good
you
hockey.
You weren't just saying that.
I didn't advocate for him to be traded.
You literally, like...
I just didn't advocate for him to make $4 million a season.
He was your proverbial whipping boy.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I mean, he wasn't... I never advocated for them to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy his presence.
Well, going back to the Saros deal... Again, when I say psychological, he's probably going through his mind going, okay, there's thousands of people who saw me these past few years and I put on these performances and now they see this and these numbers and I'm being brought up on radio like this. So that's really got to affect him. It affects any goalie, but, you know, with him still being extremely young and, you know, honestly in the shadow of Pecorine.
Well, I think that's going to be the case for the next couple of years. I mean, especially with Pekka playing the way Pekka's playing. Speaking of the way Pekka's playing, according to Natural Stat Trick, of goalies playing 500 or more minutes this season, Pecorine is number one with a 0.928 high danger save percentage through 21 games, which is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. The next closest, I believe, was Tuukka Rask, and he was like 17th on the list. I mean, when you look at goaltenders, I've got to get this stat up. It is... Tuukka Rask. Why did I say that? Jaroslav Halak for Boston. I knew it was Boston. But Pecorine has a 9.28 save percentage. He's allowed 9 high danger goals on 125 high danger chances. These are the chances that are right in front of him in the slot, in the blue ice, and he has allowed 9 on 125 attempts.
Again, we say this a lot. He's getting better with age. His reaction time is picking up.
He's like a fine wine. He really is.
I'm sure he would love to hear that.
No, he'd probably be very humble, though. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
I've noticed his reaction time is top-notch, and it's not really surprising, but it's kind of a shock because normally, again, with age, you think, oh, well, you know, the legs aren't going to be as quick. You know, he may not see as well in between screens, but it's right up there.
It's not like he's over here with cataracts, Darren. I can't really see that far away. I
mean, my cataracts.
Oh, there's that puck. It went in the net. No, I mean, he's not blind.
I never.
Well, you know, he has trouble with his eyesight when it comes to his age.
Wow.
He's 36.
No, I'm talking, when I say seeing, like seeing
it's
the
like
puck.
You expect him to be in a rocking chair with a cane, Darren. I mean, really?
He's the guy on the front of the Cracker Barrel sign.
No,
you totally misinterpreted.
No,
totally misinterpreted what I said.
You're the one who said it.
No,
not me.
When I meant sight, I meant like reaction time with seeing from, you know, player to player.
It's like the episode of The Simpsons where they're like they're playing tennis. It's ha,
it's in the bag. We're derailing again.
Oh no!
I never said he had cataracts.
Okay, but you sat there and you made a comparison to him being an old slow man.
Are you going to get him a pair of bifocals?
Maybe I will. Giant Coke bottle glasses.
Maybe yours.
Okay. Speaking of these particular statistics, though, we got to look at the opposite end of the spectrum, and on the very bottom of the poll, in terms of all these statistics, is 0.928 being the top. UC Saros is second to last with a 0.768 high danger save percentage through 21 games. Through 21 games. And so his numbers, when you look at them, 16 goals on 69 attempts. That's
makes
half
me want
the number.
To weep.
It's half the number that Pekka's faced, and it's almost double the goals allowed.
Ooh.
It's tough. I mean, for a young goaltender that has doesn't have the opportunity to play every single night,
he'll make a bounce back.
Well, of course he will. I mean, I absolutely think he will. I think it's going to take more playing time consecutive playing time. I'm not saying, hey, you know, let's hope Rene gets injured. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Are you going to make fun of his eyesight too?
Who, UC's?
Yeah.
No, he's a young man. He's got great eyesight.
Oh, great. Well, we also...
I didn't call him an old man with a cane like you did.
I never... Those words never came out of my mouth.
I believe the words were Cracker Barrel Man. I believe those were the exact words that came out of your mouth. We're going to need the audio on that. He's a Cracker Barrel Man. Thank you, Darren. Boy.
No. Well, we also have to remember that when Pekka was injured, you stepped in and did wonderful.
I did step in and do wonderful. Thank you.
I didn't say you.
You said you.
I said use.
Okay. Well, you did step in and do a wonderful job. So I would agree with that. And I think, I mean, it goes back to also when you look at players like Carter Hutton.
Yes.
When Rene had his hip surgery and the subsequent infection, Carter Hutton came in and did fantastic.
It begs the question.
And now look at him in Buffalo. Fantastic starter up there.
It begs the question, when the pressure is really on, do you think they just stop thinking and they just play? That's why they play so well in the starter's absence?
I think when you're getting to a point where you're playing every single night and you're not really thinking about it,
yeah,
I think that helps.
Well,
now UC's not playing between 7-8 nights in a row. He has time to really sit and think.
In the shadow of the Cracker Barrel Man.
In the shadow of the Cracker Barrel. That's brutal. Okay. All right. Two games this week. Of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't sit here and say Darren went 0-3-0 on predictions last week. 0-3-0. 0 points for Darren.
You're really kicking up my anxiety.
0-3-0.
Oh, I knew as soon as you texted me that, I was like, he's going to
ream
me for this one. It's magic, you know.
I went 2-1. Let's go ahead and get the predictions out for the week. We got Vancouver, New Jersey. Those are the home games. Ottawa and Chicago. I think Nashville is going to go 3-1 with the only loss coming to Vancouver on Thursday, tomorrow night.
No, I disagree. Vancouver, I believe it's going to be a 3-1 win. They're going to bounce back in that game, and there's a revenge. New Jersey, I think it's going to be the loss, 2-0. Ottawa, 1-0 win, and Chicago, 4-3 win.
Okay. Well, those are interesting numbers. Maybe you're going to bounce back. You're going to go 0 for 4 this week.
If I go 0 for 4, I'll quit.
You'll quit? Okay. Yes. Well, you know, I was really thinking, Darren. I was thinking when we talked about UC Saros and Pekka Rinne, you know, of course, Pekka's eyesight is great. And he does not have cataracts. He doesn't need the surgery. UC having a little trouble maybe seeing the pucks here and there. Maybe if there was something to help him analyze. To really look at his shot selections.
Like a breakfast from Cracker Barrel.
Like a breakfast. No, not like a breakfast from Cracker Barrel. Maybe if he had something like a website to really track this information. You know what I think he needs, Darren?
What website?
He needs Lion Zone. Are you looking for a new website? What about a way to reach a new audience or expand your current reach in a way you haven't been able to thus far? You need Lion Zone. With solutions in hosting, email, search engine marketing, e-commerce, and more, LionZone's experienced staff will bring your business to life. It's time to get results from your website. Give LionZone a call at 615-353-0402 or visit them online at www.lionzone.com. LionZone, Nashville's leading internet marketing agency since 1999 and title sponsor of the Neutral Zone. After the break, we're going to rank some of the greatest trades that David Poile has made with the Nashville Predators in honor of his induction to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame tonight. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by LionZone on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by LionZone on 104.5 The Zone. At Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter, 615-737-1045 is our number here at the studio. As GM David Poile is being inducted to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame tonight, let's rank some of his greatest trades as Predators GM.
Yes, let's do. Yes, have some.
Okay, well, you know, we both have a list of five. We both have a list of five, and I think we're going to go 5-1. It's the only... No. I'm not even looking at your list. I'm going to keep my list in front of me.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to look at your list. You already looked at my list. You've cheated already.
Oh, no. Okay?
I've not looked at your list. I've not even looked at it. I have not even looked at your list. I don't even know what your order is. And so what you say to me is going to be pure shock and surprise because it's going to be wrong. And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. But so far, let's go over our honorable mentions. Okay. I've got two honorable mentions.
Why'd you get two and I got one?
You could have had two.
You didn't.
You could have.
But you didn't.
I didn't. What? Did I have to baby you and tell you could have a second one, Darren?
Yes. The baby needs a bottle.
You could have had a second one, big guy.
Baby.
Okay. Honorable mentions. I think my first honorable mention. Honorable. That's such a tough word. Honorable.
Honorable.
February 25th, 2004, the Predators acquired an 8th round pick.
Wrong.
Okay, listen. The 8th round does not even exist anymore, okay? In the 2004 entry draft from Tampa Bay for defenseman Timo Helbling, okay? The 8th round does not exist. Do you know who they used that pick on?
Pekka Rinne.
Yes. That 2004 entry draft pick was used on none other than Pekka Rinne, and I think without that pick, I don't think Nashville is where they're at right now. I don't think without Pekka Rinne, there's no way Nashville's that worth
it. That is a very, very fair statement.
My second honorable mention, June 27, 2014, they acquired James Neal from Pittsburgh for Patrick Hornfrist and Nick Spaulding. I think that was a great trade, but I think in the grand scheme of things, it didn't crack the top five for me.
Well, I think you're completely wrong.
Okay.
Actually, I do agree though. I just want to say you're wrong because in the next few minutes you're going to probably grill me. So
I needed
to get some sort of jab in there.
Okay, so do you have an honorable mention? I think you got one because you complained about not having two.
Poor babe. My honorable mention is on February 26th of 2018. The Predators required Ryan Hartman from the Chicago Blackhawks. Exchange for 1st and 4th round pick. Okay. And he is proving right now.
But he hasn't proven. He's proving. The jury's still out. I mean, he could literally score 0 more goals for the next 6 years. We really don't know. We really don't know.
It's begun. He's already trashing me.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and go to number 5 there, sweetheart. Go ahead and give me your number 5.
What?
Give me your number 5.
Okay. Number 5. February 15th. 2007 acquisition of Peter Forsberg from Philly in exchange
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
For Scotty Upshaw, Ryan Parent, and a first and third round pick.
That is your lowest. That is your fifth of five.
Yes, and let me tell you why.
Okay, explain to me why.
Because this, Peter Forsberg was only here for 17 games.
He was.
He only scored 2 goals, 13 assists, and had 15 points. So
15 points in 17 games, almost a point per game player.
Okay, but that was only 17 games he was here.
Do you understand like some of the passes and assists that he made? I mean, he single-handedly almost won Nashville a couple of games.
How far did we get into the playoffs?
It doesn't matter. That was a team effort. That was a team effort to get out of the playoffs in the first round.
I they brought him
in. They lost in 5 games.
The Predators brought him in so they could make it past the first round.
But one player does not make a team, Darren.
Oh, you're making him
there
sound like
no
it.
There is no I in team.
Here's a point per player game.
He was a point per game player.
Point per player game.
Yes. See, you're not even getting words correct.
You've been doing that all show.
You're wrong. Okay, so my number five, February 16th, 2004. The Preds, and I think this is low, but I had no other place to put him. Preds acquired Steve Sullivan from Chicago for a second round pick in the 2004
Andrew
draft.
Wait a second here. With the adulation.
We don't have time.
No, we do.
For
quickly,
you to do this.
With the adulation you were giving Steve Sullivan during the break, you put him at number five?
Yes, I put him at number five.
Oh, you're wrong.
No, okay, well, listen, the four in front of him are equally deserving. It's tough to put Steve Sullivan higher than the other four that I mentioned.
All right.
So I'll go with my number four. My number four is the Preds acquiring Peter Forsberg from Philadelphia for Scotty Upshaw, Ryan Parent, and a first, which they would get back and pick John Blum, and then a third pick. So I put him at four because he was almost a point-per-game player, and I think his impact on the team, and not only, it wasn't just that, yeah, he didn't do that much when he was with the Preds. It signaled something for the organization. This is 2007. This is right after. This is right before the team had to sell everything. Okay,
Jim Balsillie.
Yes, this is right before all this happened, and David Poile makes the biggest splash at the trade deadline to bring in legitimately a Hall of Fame player, and a player in with the caliber of Peter Forsberg.
Why did I just get the mental image of David Poile doing a belly buster off of him?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Geronimo.
Okay. No. Okay. Well. Anyways. It was just, I thought it opened the door for so many things, and of course the door closed instantaneously.
Yes.
But I think that was easily one of the biggest trades at the time.
I would trade those two, Sullivan and Forsberg, bet that.
What's your number four?
My number four, June 29th of 2010, acquiring Sergei Kostitsyn from Montreal for four Dustin Boyd.
Ah, Sergei Kostitsyn, the guy who quit on a play in Edmonton, skated back to the bench and allowed the Oilers to score a goal while he was doing so.
Oh.
He will forever be known as the player who did not even see two defensemen rushing against the only other Preds player on the ice while coach Peter Horacek and Barry Trotz turned yelling at him to get down the ice, and he's going, what?
One wrong play does not make a career.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Because it took him four games to come to the media to even talk about the play.
Oh, then you're going to say, well, Peter Forsberg, you know, did you see those passes he made?
Yeah, Sergei Kostitsyn never made any of those passes.
He only
there.
Had 43 goals in 3 years, 65 assists, and 108 points.
Yes, he had 108 points in 198 games. He was a half a point per game player in Nashville.
He was consistent at being a half a point a game. Moving on.
Give me your number three.
My number three, February 10th, 2011. Acquisition of forward Mike Fisher from the Ottawa Senators for first round selection in the 2011 entry draft. Lots of say. But Mike Fisher, eventual captain of the Nashville Predators, a key component of that successful 2017 playoff run, a key component of many successful.
I'm not going to chastise you for that one. It's very good. It's
chastise
a very good
chastise me.
Yeah, like I've been doing the rest of like the for all your other picks. It's a very good inclusion to your list. I however did not include Mike Fisher in my top five, and I know that's sacrilege almost, but I didn't include him in my top five because I think the three that I had were a little bit more impactful in terms of how they're still impacting the team.
All right.
Number three for me, January 6, 2016, they acquired Ryan Johansson from Columbus for Seth Jones. In my opinion, it's probably outside of my number one, it is the biggest offensive acquisition in Nashville Predators history.
Because I agree. He's the Mr. Assist.
Well, not just that, but he is the number one center. And they had been looking for a number one center for 19 years. 18, 19 years, and they finally, it took a first round defenseman, a first round drafted defenseman, to get a number one center. And it was a move that David Poile did not want to make.
And I can't argue with you on this one, but it's just, I wish I could have added him to my list.
Yeah. My number two, of course, I think it's hard. It's hard. I think our number twos and number ones are going to coincide here. I think it's hard to really kind of put this one at number one when we all know what number one is. Number two for me, acquiring PK Subban for Shea Weber. I think that right there, a one-for-one deal of that caliber will never be seen in the NHL ever again.
The sheer shock of it.
It would be literally like the Oilers trading Connor McDavid for Sidney Crosby. That is almost exactly that's exactly how that trade would work if it was on offense.
Well, that's the thing with media and Nashville fans alike. Because Shea Weber was such an integral part of the Predators, this franchise did so much. I remember when it was a game against Anaheim in that year Anyways, the year the Predators made it past the first round for the first time.
Yes.
That overtime.
2011.
Yes.
Yes.
And he fired it with, 30 seconds to go? One of the many times Shea Weber.
It's 2010, excuse me.
Yeah, one of the many times Shea Weber has really put the team on his back.
I think so. You know, I mean, there was so much that Shea Weber did, but at the same time, the magnitude of that trade.
Yes.
It was just, I mean, I remember exactly where it was. I was in Gatlinburg and I was on vacation and it was in the middle of June and I'm sitting there in the cabin and I get my phone starts buzzing and I said, well, what's going on? I looked down and says, Shea Weber's been traded for PK Subban. I was like, you've got to be joking me. So this and is, I hopped on like three radio stations for interviews and whatnot. It was mind blowing.
So this is equivalent, you know, I remember where I was for the death of the Pope. And now I remember where I was when Shea Weber was.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get our number one because we all know what the number one is. Philip Forsberg, Martin Ehret, Michael Lotta. That trade right there could be one of the most lopsided trades in NHL history. And it will continue to be lopsided forever because Philip Forsberg is going to be a Hall of Famer one day. And
it was a steal.
Martin Ehret and Michael Lotta are not. So
it was a steal.
I don't think there's much more we can really say about that. So
no.
You know, with that, we're after the break, we're going to catch some of the audio from David Poile's U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame induction and dive into your Twitter questions. This is the Neutral Zone powered by Lion Zone on 104.5 The Zone.
The tears we cry.
Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5. The Zone at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter. 615-736-1045 is our number here at the studio. We got some good questions that we pulled in from Twitter earlier today. We're going to answer those here in a few minutes. But first up, of course, we know that General Manager David Poile is being inducted to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, or at least has been already. And we got some audio of him talking to the media earlier today about his induction and, of course, some of the events surrounding that and his time with the Nashville Predators so far. So we're going to go ahead and listen to that right now.
Almost 21 years ago, the Poile family came to Nashville, and I had a couple of ways I could go in my career. One was to go to an existing team to try to fix that, I guess, and the other direction was to build a team, and I chose to build a team. I chose to come to Nashville to help build the Nashville Predators, and obviously that's one of the best decisions that I've ever made. I'm so happy for what has taken place here. You know, I had a vision of turning this into a hockey market, to sell out crowds and of people wearing Predators gear and Predators being a big part of the community. And it's like building my favorite a dessert, I guess. You know, you put the couple of scoops of ice cream in there, and then you put the right sauce you want on there, and then some whipped cream, and then the cherry on the top is a Stanley Cup. And right now, my sundae is built. We only got one more thing to do. So again, thank you, everybody who's here, media, fans, our owners, past, present, everybody that has anything to do with the Predators. This has been a terrific building process, and really happy to be part of helping grow, you know, hockey, and specifically USA hockey, which has been fabulously, it's incredible, the growth of hockey in the time I've been in the sport. So very, very proud of whatever part I've had in it, and go USA.
David, you've been through some incredible life events with hockey, outside of hockey. Where is this one going to rank tonight?
Yeah, this is right there. I mean, you know, this is obviously kind of a lifetime achievement award. I mean, I hope it's not the end of the lifetime achievements, but you know, it feels really good. It's really neat from a personal standpoint, because I have all my family here, my son and daughter, and my grandkids. And again, they've been a big part of this from a support standpoint, and also sacrificing them. You know, when you after this takes a lot of time away, and when you have your full-time job with the Predators, then you volunteer to do something extra on your so-called time off. So I'm very, very fortunate with my family and the support I get, and I'm a lucky guy that I was born into a hockey family, so I have no regrets and I have no complaints.
David, you've worked with Jim Johansson on many things with USA Hockey. What do you think he'd make of the fuss being made about him tonight? He's always a guy kind of more in the background.
Yeah, well, JJ's was a special guy. I mean, I got to know him really well. Obviously, starting in 1997, I moved to Nashville. Probably a little known fact is that I actually hired JJ to work as a scout for the Predators in my first year. That kind of thing is not allowed now, that you can't have be working for one organization and another organization. But so JJ was really close with our organization. I just found his energy unbelievable. I found his personality, his attitude, his upbeatness to be second to none. He was always fun to be around. When you go to those tournaments, and hockey's a late night sport, so you stay up late at night and talk and go to bed, see you in the morning. I did this 15 different things internationally with him. I never beat him out of bed in the morning. I mean, the guy had boundless energy, totally positive all the time. You know, if you can choose the type of people that you'd like to be around on a daily basis, Jim Johansson would be right at the top of the list.
The word faith is used a lot for people getting to the Hall of Fame, because you had to have people have faith in you. You had to have a lot of faith in people that you've hired throughout the years. How important is to have that in what you're doing now and getting honored tonight?
Yeah, maybe it's a combination of also having a little bit of luck along the way. I don't know if I believe in luck, but I know you got to have it along the way. But you know, you got to surround yourself with the right people, both in your staff, and you have to have, as I always say, it starts at the top. So you have to have ownership that really believes in what you're doing and trusts in what you're doing, and gives you sufficient time to do that. They have to understand the highs and lows of the game, whether it be injuries, some form of good play or bad play, you know, any number of things along the way. But this is a tough business, and again, I'll say for the second time, I've been very, very lucky, because you know, franchises sometimes go in cycles. I mean, you just can't help it based on age of your team or your contracts and various things. So there's so many things that go into it. I think you just have to have focus, though, and just do your job every day. I know that's a little bit of a contradiction for me as a manager, because I'm clearly a planner and a builder, so I'm always looking further out the road, but there's no more important day than today, and the biggest game of the year is tomorrow night. So that's how we have to think.
One of the aspects of USA Hockey Hall of Fame is, of course, it's a traveling event. What does it mean that it's in your backyard this year?
Well, that's really special, and Sean Henry, our president, stepped to the plate right away when USA, you know, called him about this. And again, that's just another reflection about the Predators doing things, trying things, expanding their basis of doing, you know, different things, different events. I'm told that it's sold out tonight here in the ballroom. In February, the Predators organization is bringing in the women's hockey, the NWHL, which is, you know, the first time for their All-Star game, and that's going to be really interesting to see how that goes and how many people we get to attend that. So again, kudos to the Predators and our philosophy, if you will, just to try to keep, you know, digging deeper and doing more things to, you know, get the game of hockey embedded into everybody here.
Great stuff from David Poile prior to his induction to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame tonight. A big deal. You know, he's still general manager of the team, and he will be until he decides otherwise.
Obviously. No, that's very much deserved.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was a long time coming, and I think the next honor will be, of course, the Hockey Hall of Fame will call. It's just a matter of time, I think.
His hockey savvy is uncanny.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely unreal. Just what he's been able to do, the acumen he has towards the sport itself. So yes. Let's go ahead and answer a question here, and then we'll get the other two after the break.
All right.
So the first up, we'll do George's question first. George Matarengas at George M1019. George, friend of the show, George Matarengas, says, do you think Hartman hits 20 goals after he's moved back down to the third and the fourth lines? Assuming this happens when and if when the injured players return, like the yes. Forsberg, the Arvidsson, the Forsberg, the Arvidsson, Kyle Turris, when they come back from injury. Do I think that he hits 20 goals? I mean, 20 goals is not a lofty goal because right now he already has
nine.
He has eight on the season already. So to ask for 12 more goals in 50 games, I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
It's very attainable, especially with a player of his caliber. That's as we've said, he is starting to prove himself.
So. Okay, over or under 10 goals for the rest of the season for Ryan Hartman.
Over.
I'm going to take the over, too. We'll take the over there, and we'll also take you into the break. After the break, we'll take calls, finish questions. We'll hit the Kobayashi Maru and more. You listen to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone. With the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone. On Twitter, at Neutral Zone 104.5. I got a couple more questions to answer, and then we'll get to the Kobayashi, and then we can move on.
Get up.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know the words of that song. All I know is that Shinedown is great. So go ahead, and we'll switch over to Joe. Joe Dolan had a couple questions. Three top six forwards returning soon, eventually. I know Kyle Turris is probably within a week. Forsberg, Arvidsson closer to the new year. Only 11 and 23 are waiver exempt, and I believe that's Rocco Grimaldi and... I actually don't know. Oh, man, I'm going to get lit up for not knowing that. Number 11 on the team. Who is number 11? oh, no. Have we done the impossible? It's Ellie Tolvanen. Ellie Tolvanen. How could we forget Ellie Tolvanen? Okay.
Poor young kid.
Wow. Okay.
Forgot about him.
Well, Tolvanen and Grimaldi are waiver exempt.
Grimaldi.
How do you add an elite scorer and fit all the pieces in? First off, I don't know if they need to add an elite scorer. I think they're fine as long as they're treading water and post at least a 500-plus record while these injuries are happening. I think they're going to be fine. I mean, they're still number one in the Western Conference.
I look at the Predators' record, and my philosophy is if they can stay at least a comfortable 10 games above, 500, like they're, 19-10? Right now,
something like that.
So at least nine games. Keep that going. A loss is going to be inevitable, especially with all these injuries. But
2010 and 1.
Okay, so yeah, just keep a comfortable a gap there.
A gap. That's good. That's good. Follow up question to that: third pairing, a third defensive pairing needs a bit of an upgrade. I kind of agree there. They've been trying to fix that for a couple years now. Beteto, Yannick Weber, Matt Irwin all require waivers. No room to test Donovan, Allard, Carrier, anybody down in Milwaukee. As a GM, what would you do, Darren? Me? What would you do?
Well, here's the thing: it says GM Martell.
Yes, which your last name is Martell too.
You've stumped me.
So GM Martell, what would you do?
So we're looking at Irwin here. We're looking at Weber. Oof.
Not Shea.
Yannick. No, not Shea.
Great job there, Darren.
You toss them.
You toss them? Yes. They're all on one-year contracts anyways.
Just wait it out.
Well, I mean...
Wait out the pain and suffering.
To be honest, I think the fourth line will be, or the third pairing will be manageable. When Subban returns, because yes. You'll have Hamus there balancing that out. Mm-hmm. And I think you're not going to have a pairing like a Beteto, a Weber, an Irwin, all of them pairing together. You're not going to have that happen. So I think it's just a wait and see right now. I don't think you need to bring anybody up unless there's injuries. I mean, like right now, I think they're okay, but I'm talking about multiple injuries. I'm talking about multiples. Like it's like Subban, Ekholm, and Ellis all go down at the same time.
Just quickly, the people I've noticed who were adamant, well, PK is really not doing much this year, are starting to see his absence is
absolutely
definitely noticed.
Absolutely. David Krebs at DNK900 asks, with so many members of the Predators injured reserve list emerging at practice, what does this mean going into the Christmas break soon to build momentum into the 2019 calendar year? Like I said, I think as long as the Predators, maintain a 500-ish record through these injuries, and kind of hold their position in the Western Conference, especially in the Central Division. Even if they were like 1 or 2 points away from the gap, as long as they're there come the new year, they're going to be fine.
I think the sight for the Predators, the sight for the Predators of seeing these players come back, it's good times are here again.
Follow up with the word out of St. Louis that all players are potentially up for trade, including Tarasenko. Could David Poile magically trade for somebody on the Blues roster? I don't think so. Intra-division trades are very rare. I don't think he needs to either. And I think Poile, I've talked to him about this before, and he noted to me that these trades are not necessarily taboo anymore. They used to be taboo. But I just don't think he's going to give up the pieces to pull like a Tarasenko from St. Louis. Well, it's not going to happen.
Just like he said in his press conference there, his ice cream sundae is made. All he needs
is that cherry on top, man. He's so close. He's got everything. He's got the whipped cream. He's got the nuts on top, man. He just needs a cherry.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
On the sundae.
A cookie crumbled on the Sunday.
Yes, it's got cookie pieces on top of it now.
Get a move on.
Pieces from a cookie pie.
Oh, geez.
Okay, well, we're going to get into, we have a fun little thing we do every week. And
great.
It's all about, leadership. And we always look for a particular person on the team, whether it's a coach, whether it's an assistant, whether it's a video person or whoever. Or a player that most exemplifies leadership on the team. And that brings us to this week's Kobayashi Maru Leadership Moment of the Week.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario.
The Kobayashi Maru Leadership Moment of the Week.
I love this song. I love it.
Crescendo.
Crescendo.
I'm going to slap you.
Kobayashi Maru. We've previously given out one single award to everybody under the moon for the Preds. But I think this is the week.
Everybody under the moon?
That's right. This is the week.
Under the sun.
Whatever. Moon, sun's the same difference.
Wow.
This is the week we give a duplicate. Coming out against the Ottawa Senators, they allow a goal 26 seconds into the game. And who battens down the hatches for the Preds?
Pecorino.
None other than Pecorino. Pecorino shuts the door on the Ottawa Senators immediately after allowing a goal 26 seconds into the game. 25 straight saves after that. He hands the Preds a 3-1 win. And that gives him this week's Kobayashi Maru Leadership Moment of the Week.
Mutton chops.
Mutton chops. It gives him 2 on the year. He leads the leaderboard right now. So that's always fun. It's very good to see him on top. I think last year he was far and beyond one of the top players in terms of the Kobayashi Maru.
Of course.
So we got a couple minutes here. Darren, you got any big plans this week?
Big plans this week.
Cool. Let me tell you about my... Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I say this every week now. You're a jerk.
Yes, I know this. This is nothing new.
No. We're starting rehearsals for a show in Hendersonville, and... we finished up our last one, so we're kind of taking a much-needed break, and that's about it. Just
7 brothers for seven fathers. What's the show?
Ah, boy, man, you're really just you're really
7
droll.
Brides for 7 brothers.
Thank you.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
I know what the show is.
Yours truly here landed the lead role of Adam Ponopy.
Ryan Mudd did?
Me.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Hey, Mudd, can you sing?
He's shaking his head. No, he can't
sing. I can
sing. Well, I think we can all sing. It's just a matter of how good we are.
Well, I'm very good.
Well, you think that.
I hope no one's listening from other theaters.
Of course.
That's great, Chris. Anyways.
I do want to let people know that, of course, my book, Tales from the National Predators Locker Room, The Greatest Stories in National Predators History, has not come out yet. Well, it comes out. I got pre-order copies, and of course they're all sold out. So thank you for everybody who bought one. Thank you for those who listened and got a copy. But you can always order on Amazon. They do ship out. January 1st is the official ship date for the book. So if you want to hit up Amazon, type in Tales from the National Predators Locker Room. You will find my book. It is the only one titled Tales from the National Predators.
Didn't it make the Dollar Tree bestsellers list?
It did. It is number 1 on the Dollar Tree bestseller list for 9 weeks in a row now. stupid.
Right next to the cherry cordials and dollar bags of popcorn.
Yes, my book is sitting right there highlighted by all the dollar. Snacks? It's with the Dollar Tree snacks. Oh, man. Well, anyways, my book. You know, that's why I tell everybody.
I think they should buy the book.
I think they should, too.
Yeah.
A couple, you know, I know we got, of course, tomorrow, big game, Vancouver back in town. Preds look for revenge.
Redemption.
Saturday, the Devils come in. Preds go for two on the road. After that, I think I'm really excited to see what they do against Chicago next Tuesday. Oh, boy. Because Chicago is just getting lit up by everybody.
What if that becomes a trap game?
Could be. I guess we'll find out on Tuesday.
We will.
Well, that does it for us tonight. Another fantastic show. I can't even tell you. I can't even begin to tell you how great the show is every week. Every week, it's just so good.
Cracker Barrel guy and a
Cracker
belly
Barrel flop. Guy. Pecorino was somehow compared to the Cracker Barrel man. I don't even know how that became a thing, but it did. Thank you so much. Of course, Darren joining me again. Mudd producing us, Ryan Mudd. You can get me on Twitter at @KMartell_sports. Darren on Twitter at @TennerMan87. You can get the show at NeutralZone1045. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We only got 2 weeks until Christmas. Much love to all y'all out there. Please stay safe this holiday season. Reach out to me if you need anything. You know, we'll, of course, do our best to help out. But, you know, thank you very much for listening. Love and respect to all y'all. This is The Neutral Zone, powered by Lion Zone on 104.5 The Zone.